Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. One of the more popular investing programs from KPP is our Select Growth and Income program. Hand-picked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. KPP only invests in no-load, no-transaction-fee mutual funds, selected from thousands of funds and hundreds of mutual fund families. Find out more about our investment programs when you're ready. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is our September 28th, 2016 edition of InvestTalk. And as always, our goal here each and every weekday is to give you some insight and information that will hopefully help you make better investment decisions and money decisions generally, because the goals that you have should encompass, or reaching your goals encompasses a lot more than just investing, right? It's saving, it's spending right, it's understanding timing of certain decisions, etc. And each of us comes to this program with a different level of knowledge and angst and maybe optimism about their own financial picture. Now, only you know where you are on that scale, and we try to offer something for anyone who is working to learn how to make better choices with their money. And that's everybody. And you have to be that way. You have to continue to learn and figure out what the next step is. And that includes myself and Steve, like I talked about yesterday. If you're not learning, then you're getting dumber, because there's information in your brain that tomorrow will probably be somewhat irrelevant, and there's new information that you need to absorb. So InvestTalk is all about learning. Now, what comes from that is not only factual knowledge and skill, but hopefully perspective as well. Now, you have to understand scale and have a familiarity with the financial environment. Now, if you don't, you'll never really feel that confident. So you'll never be able to find the balance between security and growth, the right balance for you. Now, discovering what type of investor you are is vital to the success of your portfolio. And it's common for investors who are risk averse to shy away from stocks, or maybe they invest in lower risk stocks. Okay, now others and that's what you should do if you have a low risk tolerance. Some continue to buy stocks, right? They buy high risk stocks and they start to lose money during volatile times, and they freak out. They sell. They buy high, they sell low, and they later regret those decisions because they're being emotional, and their investments aren't matching up with their temperament. And everyone has their own risk identity. And then once you can identify your own risk tolerance, then you learn to become a disciplined investor and investing within those parameters. And it will greatly increase your chances of avoiding costly, irrational trading decisions. Now, there are three main categories investors fall under. One are growth-oriented investors. Most of these investors, they love the story. They love the company that has the exciting technology or exciting drug or exciting business that is really, really growing dramatically. Now, this is tends to be a higher risk endeavor because many times the price of that stock is valued above average compared to current earnings and sales and profitability, etc., because the market is projecting that growth going forward. And if that growth fails, then the stock can get hit dramatically. Or maybe just a competitor comes in and sees their secret sauce and steals their secret sauce and copycats them, and all of a sudden they're no longer the world beater that they once were. Think of BlackBerry and Apple, right? BlackBerry was huge, and Apple came along and saw what they were doing and improved upon it, killed their business. Okay? And BlackBerry was a growth name, an exciting name, and it fell back down to earth pretty dramatically. So that's just one example, and that's why it can be pretty risky to be a growth investor. Now, value-oriented investors is another type of investor that looks for mispriced stocks that have the potential to outperform the market over time. And once the market realizes that they are undervalued, it will return to proper valuation and outperform the market. This is more how we work at KPP. We're more value-oriented investors. There's usually a lower risk tolerance than average with this type of approach, but with an above average long-term return. And if you look at value investing versus growth investing, value investing tends to outperform over the long term by about 4% per year. And then there's an income-oriented investor, and this is kind of an offshoot somewhat of being a value investor, but you're strictly focused on income. Now, that doesn't always mean the highest income, but it means the best risk versus reward for the income that you are generating. Now, you can be an income-oriented investor and invest in blue-chip stocks with high dividends, with consistent earnings history, and that might be a good candidate for your portfolio. It might be investment-grade bonds. It might be junk bonds, if that's something that's attractive enough. It might be municipal bonds for stability. And if you're in a high tax bracket, that might make sense for you. Now, our most popular program at KPP is our Balanced Income Program, which is a mix of dividend-paying, big blue-chip stocks and corporate bonds. And that's income-focused. And like I said, that's an offshoot of being a value investor, but maybe reaching beyond just the equity space and reaching into other areas of the market. Now, what is your risk tolerance? What type of temperament do you have? Now, you could say you are one way, but what do the numbers actually tell you? And that's why we have our free risk analysis tool right there on investtalk.com. It's simple, takes 3-5 minutes max to go through it, and you get your risk number, and you can tell whether you are aggressive, conservative, moderate, etc. Now, how can we help you today? I want to hear your questions. I welcome your questions. Let's talk about it. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time each and every weekday, or you can call whenever it is handy, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 888-99-CHART. It is our anytime number, and we'll try to answer your question on the next Invest Talk.
Hi, my name is Dave from Palo Alto. I hear the program on the radio on 1220 a.m. My question is, what is the risk of being over-diversified? Thank you very much.
The risk of being over-diversified is just being the market, you know. And if asset prices broadly fall, you're really never going to have any outperformance or any buffer to the downside. And if you just have too many assets, then you have no plan, no control, and that just because you're over-diversified doesn't mean that you are either without risk or that your risk isn't in the wrong place. You could have a ton of different stocks, but if you're still concentrated in a particular area of the market, then in reality, you're not over-diversified, even though you may think you are. So there's different ways you can be over-diversified. It can just be too many holdings in the market, in the stock market. It could be too many different asset classes. And generally, it just means no plan. And most importantly, when you're investing in anything, you need to have a plan. And broadly, your own personal situation, you need to have a plan as well. Now, Steve and I are excited about a new service that will be available to our clients for free, and many of our listeners as well. It is called My401k, and it enables employees to make smart choices within their employer's 401k plan. Because we know, we get this question all the time. How do I manage my 401k? What should my allocation be? And if you listen to yesterday's show, you'll know that that's the number one factor that you need to consider. What is your overall allocation in your 401k? And everyone needs help with that. Not everyone, but 90%+ of people, right? So over the next few days, we'll be telling you more about it. If you'd like to take a sneak peek, just go to investtalk.com, click on the investments tab, and then my 401k. Chart 888-992-4278. Now, among the numerous benefits of this strategy is you can reduce risk, lower portfolio volatility, generate monthly income on stocks you already own, if you know what you're doing. So we're going to talk about earning income writing covered calls. Have you ever explored this strategy? It's a very interesting strategy. There are upsides and there are downsides, just like anything, and we're going to discuss what those are. I also want to get to venture capital. There's a big rush into venture capital right now. What is that telling you about the market? What does that mean, and why is there a rush into venture capital? And what is venture capital? Do you know what that is exactly? Okay, we're going to discuss that. Then yesterday I was going to get to the most hated asset class out there and discuss that a little bit more, but I didn't get to it. So hopefully today I will have time to do so. And then earnings for the next quarter, Q3. Sorry, the earnings for the current quarter. We have a couple more days left in it. Is there going to be an earnings rebound? Going to probably say not so much, probably less than most people are expecting, and I'll give you some more details on that as well. Now let's take a quick look at the market today. We had the Dow up, let's see, I don't think this is refreshed. I got to look at my, it was refreshed. Dow's up 110, S&P was up 11, the NASDAQ was up about 13. And really, this was on the back of the OPEC news that they're going to do some sort of supply freeze. In reality, it looks just looks like they're going to raise their output a little bit and then freeze it. But they're already near the limits of their output anyway. So I don't think this is a very – I think this is a market pop on the news, kind of a surprise news, to be honest. But I don't think it's going to last. To be honest. So do I think oil prices are going to be very volatile and range-bound for a while? I do, but I don't think this is a sustained trend in the market. And what's really the news that a lot of the media is just starting to talk about is Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is still out there. It's They're selling off a piece of their insurance business. I think they had a subsidiary that they were selling a portion or all of that's going to help infuse them with a little bit of capital. But they're still in trouble. And there was rumors about Germany preparing a bailout, but that's way too soon. That's going to be down the road. There needs to be much more pain before it gets anywhere close to a German bailout. I think eventually they will bail them out, but there's going to be more pain ahead. And between now and the election in Germany in the fall of next year, it'll be very difficult for them to sell to the public a bailout of Deutsche Bank. So that's a story that everybody needs to understand, needs to follow, because Deutsche Bank is huge. Now, Steve's in San Jose today meeting with listeners, reviewing their retirement accounts. Now, schedule an hour with him no matter where you live. Just go to investtalk.com. He does have dates coming up next month, I believe on the 25th and 26th in the Bay Area. He also has some phone call and Skype dates set aside, I believe, for the 5th and the 5th and the 20th, 5th and 19th, something like that. It's on investtalk.com. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
Oh, Hi, Steve and Justin. My name is Steve, and I'm calling from Oakland. Really enjoy your guys' show. I have a question about the ticker symbol XLE, an ETF. I saw that the price of oil went up today, and it's up significantly. I currently have a position in XLE. I'm up about 12%. Wondering if you guys think I should take some money off the table or if you see a lot of room for growth in here. All right, look forward to hearing your response. Take care.
I was looking at the Energy Select Spider ETF. Symbol is XLE, and this is an ETF that holds a broad swath of energy-related companies, mainly oil and gas-related companies. Think of the Exxon, Chevron, Schlumberger's, EOG Resources, Pioneer Natural Resources. Those are the top five holdings of this ETF. So it's going to move up and down based on the price of oil in many respects. And he's looking, sounds like he's up a decent amount, and he's looking for an exit. And today it's at 69.80 at the close of the day, up 4.35%. So really nice day as the price of oil rebounded on the back of the OPEC news. I think, like I said earlier in the show, this is will be a short-lived rally for oil, because I think the effects of this freeze are going to be less than the market realizes. Because, like I said, this is just, oh, we're going to raise it a million barrels and then freeze it. This isn't really a cut. It's just a freeze. So I think it depends on your time horizon. Do I think oil could get back into the 50s and 60s? Over time, medium term? Yes, I do. I do think that. However, it sounds like this is a trade for you, and I would take advantage of this little pop. Sell a little bit of your position and keep a tight stop on it, because I do think that this will roll over with the whole market probably by the end of the year. So it kind of depends on your time horizon. Long term, or I say medium term, I'm okay with it. Short term, I think it will probably roll back over. So take advantage of this little pop. Now, how can you earn income, extra income, while you're holding your stock positions? Well, one strategy that's pretty popular is covered call writing. You know what that is? I'll explain it to you hopefully in simple terms. So let's say, for example, you own 100 shares of a particular stock at $10 a share. And you want to earn some income from it. Well, what you can do is you can say, I'm going to give someone else the right to buy my shares between now and a defined date, say 6 months from now, at $12 a share. Right? And you're going to get what is called a premium for that. And you're going to say, well, why would anyone pay that? Well, they're going to pay you something because they might think it's going to $15 a share. And they can make the difference between $12 and $15, $3 a share, by outlaying just a small premium, maybe call it 50 cents a share. And so they're going to pay you 50 cents for the right to potentially buy it at 12. So if that actually happens, it goes to 15, they buy it for 12, it basically costs them 50 cents, and they're making $3. What's that return on investment? That's a lot. That's a big return on investment. However, there's no guarantee it's going to 15. There's no guarantee it's going to 12. It might go down. It might stay flat at 10. And guess what? If it does not go above 12 between now and, say, 6 months from now, they lost all of their 50 cents. And guess who gets to keep it? You, who sold them the right to buy that stock at $12 a share, which is $2 more than it is today. So hopefully that was a good explanation. Hopefully you understood what that means. And
It's a
strategy that is employed regularly. It's the most popular stock option strategy out there. Now, what this does is it allows you to reduce your risk. Why is that? Well, say you have at 10, you sell this call option on your stock to potentially sell it at 12 down the line. And it goes down in price. Well, at least you get to keep that 50 cents if that option expires worthless, because that is an expiration date. It doesn't get to 12 by the time it expires. You get to keep that 50 cents. And yeah, maybe it went down to $9, but you got to keep 50 cents, so really only lost 50 cents on that stock. So that's how it reduces your risk and reduces your volatility as well and gets you monthly income. So we're going to talk a little about this more coming up. If you have questions about it, give me a call. We are open to any of your money questions or comments right now at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. That's how you get through right now.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. We'll continue. Steve and Justin hope that you think of them as a resource for unbiased answers. If there's a question you want to ask them directly, it's easy to get their opinion on your money issue. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the contact buttons. Contact Steve or contact Justin, and they will get right back to you.
Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. He wants to talk about Tesla. Do you want to short it, Art?
Yes, I was just wondering what you thought, because I'm thinking once the deal goes through with SolarCity, I figure that they're both going to have problems generating profits, so I'm thinking about keeping an eye on it to see what you thought.
I think shorting it is a good idea. You got to make sure you're willing to hold it longer term. They're gonna be raising capital by issuing more shares. They've shown no signs that they'll be able to stay profitable over any extended period of time, and I think you should be looking to short Tesla.
Yeah, because also the fact that I'm thinking down the road, the car industry is probably not going to do as well as the last few years, because the money seems like it's drying up.
That's certainly true, and I think what's most underappreciated with the Tesla story in the marketplace is that they have competition. All the major car manufacturers out there are building and looking to build competitors to the Tesla Model S. You know,
right.
They're looking to go all electric. Part of it is to compete with Tesla. Part of it is to comply with government regulations. Part of it is just simply to make money, because they know how to make money by selling cars. Tesla doesn't.
Do you know what the reason is behind the SolarCity?
I think that the real reason is to save Elon's brand, personal brand, to be honest with you. Bailing out himself, bailing out his cousin who is running SolarCity, and to maintain his brand. Because the idea that this is some sort of synergistic acquisition is laughable. It's like saying that GM is going to buy Chevron because, you know, they power, because gasoline powers cars, right? It's laughable. So that is the reason that they're doing it. They're going to say it's for synergistic purposes, and they're going to be able to sell this full package of solar power with battery storage, with an electric car, and everyone's going to be off the grid, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, A, not everybody lives in a home that can put solar panels on top. Some don't want it on their home. Some may already have it from another company. And B, neither company has proved that they can sell these cars in a profitable fashion, or sell these products in a profitable fashion. So what's gonna change that by doing this together? It's just a story,
and a dream, and it's just burning cash, and that's the only thing these two companies know how to do is burn cash.
Well, sounds good.
Well, yeah, that's, so go ahead, Art, find a price to short Tesla. I think it's a good idea. Now let's
All right, thanks a lot.
No problem. Let's get back to talking about writing covered calls. And I hopefully explained it to you in simple layman's terms, because I know that options can be kind of tricky and complex. But this is the most plain vanilla way that you can use options as a strategy. Now, covered call writing in the stock market is really, in some ways, equivalent to putting a renter in the piece of property that you own. And more like a rent-to-own type of situation, right? Because if the price goes up enough, they're going to execute the option to own. That's just how it works. Same with a rent-to-own situation in real estate. Now, cover calls are a great way for investors to increase their yield, maybe double, triple their yield on underlying stock, underlying security. Now, there are downsides to this. It sounds all hunky-dory, but the downside is volatility. One, volatility in the upside. You're going to limit your upside on any position that you own. So if that $10 stock goes to 15 or goes to 20 and you sold a call at 12 strike, well, guess what? You only make the difference between 10 and 12 plus your premium when that stock might have doubled to 20 and you would have missed out on all those gains. And then on the flip side, say the stock goes from 10 to 5. Sure, you might have gotten a little bit of premium on the calls that you sold, but you're still losing 40, 50% of the money or the value of that asset. So it's not a huge buffer to the downside. The best time to be a covered call writer simply is during a non-trending market, a choppy market. You know, if high end of the range, you sell some calls and market goes down, the stock goes down and those calls expire worthless, you keep it, but they didn't go down too much. You know, it's not a big deal. Might have went down 5 or 10%, but nothing crazy. And you keep your premium, and that's a nice buffer and increase in your yield. So in volatile times, it's not the greatest thing to be a writer of calls. In kind of steady, boring, not exciting returns either up or down, those times it can be good. So understand the pros and cons of writing cover calls, but for some people, if you have the time, and you have to have the time to do it as well, understand that. Now, a real estate agent can cost you or save you thousands of dollars. And of course, there's a lot at stake. And if you want to know what you need to look at to make sure you have the right agent, because I see this a lot, you know, there's a lot of riffraff in the real estate market, real estate agent market. It's not the hardest thing in the world to get your license, and there's a lot of part-timers. So what makes a good agent different? Why should someone list a home with a certain agent? What questions you need to ask? What important questions you need to ask? So we have a list of 10 for our InvestTalk Insider subscribers. If you want to sign up, you can for free today on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Every money question is important, especially yours, because it's yours. Don't hesitate to ask even the basics. Everybody's welcome. Investing terms, understanding them is important. Maybe you've got a question about real estate, reverse mortgages, or life insurance. The number is always open, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Hello, good day, Steve and Justin. My name's Adam. I'm calling from San Jose. And my question is, what do you guys think about investing in Target as a long-term value investment? Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from your answer. on the next episode. Take care.
I was looking at Target. TGT is a symbol. I don't think I need to explain to everybody who Target is, but they do yield about 3.5%, which is nice. It's a nice little yield. Their payout ratio is about 40, 45%. So that's relatively low. Operating earnings yield is 12%. That's very attractive. It's, I would say at these levels, you know, it's come from a 52-week high of $84 a share. Now it's at $67 a share. Technically, it's in a downtrend. And I think likely it's going to continue in that downtrend for the short to medium term. Now, you asked for a long-term investment. I think Target's a great investment. I think they're not really going anywhere. I know Amazon's beaten the world, but I think Walmarts and Targets of the world are going to be able to compete pretty well because they have an online presence as well, and they have distribution, and people still want to go to stores to some degree, and their footprint is rather large. So I think Target is still a good long-term play, and long-term their profitability is solid, and it maintains that today. So I like Target. I do think in the short to medium term is probably going to continue lower. I would love to pick Target up in the low 50s, high 40s. I think that would be a fantastic place long-term. Now, will you still do good long-term at these levels? Sure. If you want to just set it and forget it, I think you'll be all right. However, understand the short to medium term, there's probably a good amount of downside. Now let's talk about earnings. A lot of people are expecting an earnings rebound in the third quarter, but I would heed caution to that. Sales and profit warnings so far leading up to the end of this quarter in just the last few weeks have been pretty poor. And the companies that have issued these profit warnings are being punished more severely than usual. Now, of the 114 S&P 500 companies to issue earnings per share guidance so far for the third quarter, 80 of them, about 70%, have been negative versus 34 that were positive. Now, that's not an unusual difference. However, companies that are offering earnings per share outlooks that are 16% below analyst expectations on average. And that's much higher than the five-year average of 9.7%, meaning analysts are overly optimistic about earnings for the third quarter. And the stocks are feeling the pain. Companies that have issued negative guidance so far for the third quarter have seen an average share decline of about 1.2%. Now, that doesn't sound big, but over the last 5 years, that average of those companies that are issuing profit guidance in the negative form dropped only 0.5% on average. So they're getting hit much harder, and that's because the expectations are simply too high. Now, overall, earnings per share of the S&P are expected to decline about 2.4%. Now, at the end of the second quarter, third quarter expectations were calling for a rise of 0.2%. So you can see that since the end of the second quarter, as per usual, analysts are starting to continue to downgrade expectations for earnings. Now, before, over the last few years or so, profit warnings were pretty much concentrated in the energy space. However, that has started to change. It's coming from a very broad range of different industries. Companies like Ford, Tempur-Pedic, General Mills, Kroger, a pretty wide set of industries. And it will likely be the sixth straight quarter of declining earnings, and sales are expected to grow only 2.5%, which, if that happens, will break the streak of six-quarter streak of revenue declines, but I'm saying it's probably going to continue to be negative once all the numbers come in. And economists aren't expecting an acceleration of economic growth next year, so I think the malaise of earnings is probably only going to continue. Now it's time for Invest Talk 101, keeping a lid on risk for millennials. Now millennials are more likely than other generations to be risk averse, and that's natural. They grew up and they felt the effects of the financial crisis. They held 52% of their savings in cash and only 28% in stocks. And this is what I talk about with being biased. And the way you grew up and the performance of certain asset classes during your young years, your coming of age years, is very, very impactful on how you view that particular asset class. So millennials tend to be higher, more risk adverse. Now they should have long time horizons, so that should allow them to be more aggressive, but they're not. Now the first thing you need to do to fight these biases is to learn about various types of investments. Look at long-term history of returns, the factors that influence returns in that particular asset class, and then look forward and say, is that more or less likely to happen? For example, interest rates. And I talk about this all the time. Over the past 30 years, you've had a giant tailwind to real estate prices by lower and lower interest rates. And you have to ask yourself, how important are interest rates to the price of real estate? And I'm going to say very high. And what are the odds of interest rates falling over the next 10, 20, 30 years? Well, probably not that great at these levels. The odds are much higher, they're going up. So understanding these factors are very important. Number two, invest in a broad, diversified set of portfolio, or broad, diversified portfolio with a set of different funds to use. That's helpful to get broad exposure. So educating yourself is the first step to reducing that bias and making rational decisions, not being controlled by just the 10 years of returns that happen in different asset classes during your young years, right? Now you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein. We have 10 minutes left in the show, so if you're going to call, you need to do it now. Topic is your money. We want to hear from you at 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Manu in Fremont. How you doing?
Good, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I'm calling regarding a company.
Okay.
Imperva. What do you think about this?
Well, this is a software security company that develop markets, services, and support data security solutions within a data center. So certainly their services are needed and growing. Right, the cloud is becoming bigger and bigger each and every day, and this is I'm assuming a solution that is somewhat widely used. What do you know about the type of companies that use it and how great their service is?
I don't know anything about this. It was it jumped to 25% due to the company being on the block. That's what I came to know.
I see. So what it looks like is they are looking to sell themselves. You know, they're not a profitable company. They're losing money, and they might be having trouble continue to raise capital. So it's easier for them to just sell their business outright than fight to raise more capital. Could it continue to go up? It's very possible. You know, could they get a buyout? I don't know. I don't know enough about the company. I don't know enough about potential suitors for the company to tell you whether or not that's actually going to happen. It could just be maybe their technology is not that great. I don't know. I'd have to do more research. I think you need to do more research to find out what type of companies could purchase them and whether or not they're even worthwhile to look at. From the likes of maybe a Cisco or an Oracle, you know, those are the type of names that probably would be interested in this company. So I would have to do more research. I can't really tell you whether or not they're going to be bought out or not.
Okay.
But I like what you're looking at. I like what you're thinking. But you need to do more research. If they seem like their technology is fantastic, I could easily see a large corporation picking them up. Now let's pivot to the most hated asset class. What's the most hated asset class today? Now, one thing you have to understand, and this goes back to what I was talking about last segment, was understanding different asset classes and not being biased towards one or the other. And the reason is because every asset has a value to some degree. It might be a penny, might be half a penny, but it has some sort of value. And you should be a buyer of every asset class at the right price. And that's what being a value investor is about. And the question is today, where is the best value? And I'm going to say it's in the commodity space. And when I say commodities, I don't mean going out and buying oil or buying wheat directly. I'm talking about buying companies that profit off the potential rise in commodity prices. That is where the most attractive area of the marketplace is today. Now let's go to Jordan in Texas. How you doing, Jordan?
Oh, hi. I have a question to ask you about IBM.
Okay. You might want to turn off your radio or whatever sound you have going on. What are you looking at IBM? You looking to buy it? Do you want to own it? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you if this is a great company to buy at this point.
Well, it certainly rallied dramatically. It is a value name. I think they're going through a transformation process that is going to take a little while, but we do like the company long term. Now, short, medium term, you know, if we go into a downswing in the markets, this is certainly a name that will also take a hit. But it is a big blue chip name. You're getting a nice 3.5% dividend, which is nice. And I think that will continue because their payout ratio is fine. It's safe. So long term, I think you'll do fine with IBM. Anything else, Jordan?
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. I was IBM International Business Machines. I hope I don't have to explain who they are to everybody. Now our time is up this hour. I want to remind you to take a look at how a new service can help you if you are a 401k participant. Doesn't matter where you are, what employer, whoever houses your 401k, it doesn't matter. This will help you meet the challenge of optimizing your 401k portfolio with recommendations tailored to your employer's specific plan and your personal risk tolerance. It's pretty exciting. We're very excited for this. So take a look. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, and then My 401k. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, Executive Vice President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. For Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, we thank you for listening today. We'll be here again tomorrow. Join in.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.